The path above was dry and white, and the wind swayed the trees without a sound. People standing before their homes, with eyes darting nervously, as if gripped by a terrible fear. They leaned in, listening intently, whispering from ear to ear, careful not to make a sound with their tiptoes. It was April then, a dark, cloudy afternoon. In the shadows of the cedar trees, white-winged insects danced up and down, as if weaving a silent loom. In the silence, the surroundings were still, as if awaiting something unseen. "Have you seen the black man?" A grandfather with a bruised blue face asked a thin man in his early 40s. "No, I haven't," he replied, leaning back slightly. The blue-faced grandfather moved on tiptoes, making his way to the next house. Though there was no snow, a chill seemed to seep into everyone's skin. The man, furtively glancing at the elder, whispered, "As if I'd ever see him." In front of the next house, a hysterical woman was being questioned by the old man. "Did you see the black man?" he asked. His sharp eyes glinted from their bruised blue depths. "The black man?" the hysterical woman stammered, a ripple of fear crossing her brow. "Shh, quietly now. You saw that black man, didn't you?" the blue-faced grandfather demanded, growing imperious, trying to grasp the woman. "No, I didn't. I didn't see him. Are you sure that's true?" the grandfather asked, his voice heavy with immense force. "It's true, of course." The grandfather moved his steps to the next house. The hysterical woman let out a strange laugh. "How eerie. I didn't steal anything, you know," she whispered. The grandfather cornered a white-haired, hard-of-hearing old woman. He repeated the same question to her. The black man, tall, black from head to toe. The old woman seemed not to understand what the grandfather was saying. Even the grandfather seemed to be at a loss. "Well, you're old enough now. You'll be fine," he muttered, walking to the next house. Women, men, children, young and old, all received the grandfather's persistent questions. Some even replied, "Thank you for your trouble," while glancing nervously around. Whether these small words pleased, went unheard, or angered the grandfather, no one knew. He continued his rounds, house to house, as if oblivious. In a village with fewer than 50 houses, the grandfather was the village chief. "Someone saw the black man, they say," the hysterical woman declared, just as the grandfather's figure vanished from sight. She then walked from house to house, just as he had, spreading the word. "I saw the black man," everyone cried out, spreading the rumor by word of mouth. "Who?" "I don't know who. That woman said it." The woman's hair was disheveled. Her kimono was soiled. Her obi was torn. Her skin was pale, but her teeth were yellow. "Hey, did you see him?" the familiar man in his 40s asked, following her silently from behind. The woman again showed her eerie, terrible laugh. "It's a lie," she said flatly. "Why would you tell such a lie? You startled everyone." A man listening nearby also shouted, "What, a lie? You witch, you scared everyone." Then everyone rushed over and threw stones at the hysterical woman. "You witch! You devil!" The blue-faced grandfather continued to walk from place to place, questioning every single person in the village. The sky gradually turned gray. What an ominous sky, isn't it? "When bad things happen, it's always like this," said the people standing in front of their homes. "What happens if you see him?" one person asked anxiously. "Hey, did you see him?" "I haven't, but I'm worried, so I'm asking," said a timid-looking young man. "They say three people in the neighboring village saw him. Everyone else locked themselves inside their homes, not daring to go out. Those three were banished from the village." "Hey, so what happened to those three then?" "They say they probably became the black man's prey by now. It's not just death. If you meet him, your body will burn and turn black within 2 days. Is it a contagious illness?" "Of course. Just seeing his face, even his shadow, means death. That's why the village chief is going around asking," said one person. "There are only two paths into this village, one from the east and one from the north. Both paths twist and turn, with no clear view to the end. Wherever one looked, dense cedar forests loomed black. like demons standing against the sky, as if some anxiety lay in wait. Even the swaying branches of the trees became still. Yet, the white-winged insects continued their silent dance, weaving up and down. "Hey, he might come from this road," one person whispered, looking back at his companions. Each of the companions carried a bamboo spear and a hunting knife. The one who had just spoken carried a double-barreled shotgun. "If they see our faces, it's over. Isn't there a clever trick they won't notice?" he asked, seeking a solution. Then, the man sharpening his machete placed the whetstone down. "How about wrapping our faces in black cloth?" he suggested. "What? Do we become men in black too?" the man with the gun questioned, as if acknowledging a point. "No, not like that. It's just to hide our own faces." "So any dark cloth would work then, not just black?" "No, that won't do. If they get close enough to touch us, it's over. In that case, bamboo spears and machetes are too dangerous, aren't they? Of course, if we're ready to die and take them with us, it's fine. But I surely won't make it out alive. Then we'll have to rely on you alone. We only have one gun," one of them said. "All right, I'll take it on. But how should we keep watch?" Each man crossed his arms, deep in thought. No one could come up with a good idea. Then, the man in his 40s clapped his hands. "I've got a great idea," he whispered. "The devil won't hear anything we say here. Go on, tell us." The man in his 40s pointed to the house ahead, and then, with gestures no one else could understand, he explained everything. It was as if this man were mute. Finally, like an old man with swollen bruises, he whispered the story from ear to ear. "That's interesting," the man with the gun agreed. "Just like a mummy, wrapped in black cloth and cast aside, a motionless man sat on the gray roof at each end of the village. He held his gun, peeking towards the distant forest. As if by agreement, everyone in the village closed their doors. Only white-winged insects in the cedar shadows tirelessly wove their way up and down. The road was white and dry. The winding path, like a white serpent crawling, led to the silent black forest. The black forest seemed to be laughing. The white road appeared to move, as if fawning. But both the forest and the road felt like kin to the devil, used by something eerie. This white path, too, demanded constant vigilance. The silence continued until nightfall. Gradually, the gray deepened. Before long, the sky turned mouse gray. It hung low and heavy, draping behind the forest. Slowly, that curtain was carried closer, as if by unseen hands. Soon, the gray curtain caressed the forest's crown, pulled from behind to the front. Before long, the forest too was hidden. Along the white road, inch by inch, the curtain's advance drew near. Where the edge of the curtain touched, all colors died, turning to a single black. Heaven and earth had at some point succumbed to the triumph of black. That night, no starlight could be seen in the sky. On the red rusted tin roof, no warm sunlight ever fell. Dull colored clouds drifted past, looking down upon it. Smoke from the chimney, yearning for who knows what, rushed out like a 5-inch rod from its mouth, only to scatter in all directions. One wisp drifted north, another east. In an instant, they vanished without a trace. Reflecting the fleeting form of that smoke above, the sluggish tin roof seemed to feel neither sorrow nor worry, said to her friend by the window, in a dull, utterly unsympathetic tone.